In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm really happy to start this series of treasures, and we are going to comment on the epistles or letters written by the forefathers, the apostles of the church, and we will start with the epistle of St. James. St. James, as you may know, is one of the 12 disciples, and he is the one named the brother of the Lord himself, because he was, you know, his cousin. His mother is Saint Mary, the sister of Saint Mary, the Theotokos. Saint James was the first bishop of the early church, and he was mentioned in the book of Acts as the leader of the meeting mentioned in Acts chapter 15, and he took the decision with the whole synod or the 12 disciples to finish the problem of Judaism or the heresy started at that time. St. James, he was just a simple man, full of the Holy Spirit, very kind person, and when you go reading his epistle, you will find out that he's living all the words he's saying as exactly mentioned and written about his Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, this letter of St. James is very much parallel to the Sermon on the Mountain given by the Lord himself. Let's start. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. You know, he's saying that he's a bondservant of God. He did not mention that he is the brother of the Lord, because people may, you know, look up to him saying that he is the brother, but he never thinks this way. He feels in himself that he is just a servant like others. So he did not mention being the bishop of the church or the brother of the Lord. So the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, you know, most of the Christians in the early church were originally Jews. That's why they still use the name tribes of the church, because many people came to Christianity out of their old religion. So he started with greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This beginning, you know, tell us that there were hardships, hard time with the church at that time, because people were suffering from persecution from the Jews and the Romans at that time. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Trials are different. We all suffer trials during our life. But you know, whatever the type of trial, sickness, persecution, loss of money, loss of somebody in the family, all these trials we should accept it thankfully with our faith, and also count it all joy. How one can count the trial in a joyful way, it's not easy. But believing that Christ is doing the best for everyone, and believing that we are aiming at the kingdom of heaven, we are focusing to live a pure life, and believing that all trials are given by the merciful God, our Father God, who really loved us, so we will accept it and count it all joy. It's never easy to count the hardship in a joyful way, but with prayer, with humility, with the grace of God, we can feel this spiritual joy even while dark times or hard times. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So he called it testing your faith. We may consider all trials, various trials, are just kind of testing our faith. Do we really believe in God as faithful, as merciful, as loving God? When it comes to hard time, do we still believe in Him as the Father God who gives every good thing to His people? And how about when we pray and God does not respond quickly and trials get harder? Do we still believe in Him? So it's kind of testing our faith. And you all know that all believers in Christ should suffer during their life. Christ did not promise us with an easy life in this life, but He promised us with the eternal life. The rest not in this world, but we will gain all rest in the coming eternal life. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You know, we need patience. And without patience, we cannot gain the crown of eternity. So there is no patience without hard time, without trial. So with trial, now we are gaining this virtue of being patient. And you know, Christ Himself experienced this patience. He suffered all His life, and especially with the crucifixion. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. Somebody may believe that as far as I'm patient, I'm just negatively accepting the condition. I have nothing to do. I just accept whatever God is doing. No, being patient does not mean you are passive. No, you will accept this trial and you will do whatever needed during the trial and still being patient. If you are sick and you accept the trial of the sickness from the hands of God, still you need to go for medical management, you need to care for your health, you need to, you know, fight the problem, but with faith and with patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the perfection is not only the acceptance of the trial, and not only being patient, suffering through the trial, but moreover, doing all perfect things should be done at that time. So you need to pray, you need to continue serving the Lord, you need to stick in your faith, you need to love everyone around, you need to hope for eternal life, you need to trust the word of God, so be perfect at that time. Let's read it again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. By the way, people, you know, will fight to do this. Sometimes with the start of any trial, people may feel unhappy and they cannot accept it easily. But with the power of prayer, we surrender to God. With the power of the Word of God, we believe that everything works for our salvation. The best is coming from the hands of our Lord. We believe in His wisdom. We believe in His power. We believe in His love. So we just surrender. If any of you lacks wisdom, that's why he mentioned wisdom here. Because to understand why this is happening to me, why should I suffer? Because my God loves me. So I did not expect to suffer. Just you need to be wise. You need to understand the wisdom of God. You need to know why and what to do. Why he made it this way that time. Maybe because you need patience. Maybe he strengthens your faith. Maybe because this is the narrow road to eternal life. But in all cases, it needs God's wisdom. Also, you need wisdom to know what exactly should you face this problem. What should you do? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So St. James here is telling us that this request of God's wisdom will be given just by praying. So when you pray, you ask God for His wisdom, you will be given this wisdom. And with this wisdom, you will feel the joy of the Spirit. You will be convinced with the trial. You will know what exactly God is expecting you to do. It will be given to him who prays. But let him ask in faith. Sometimes when we ask God, we do not believe that God is listening. We are not sure that he is giving us our request. But actually, we should believe that he is listening and he is giving us much more than we ask for, as far as it goes with his will. So asking for his wisdom, it goes with his will. So make sure that he is listening and he will give you the wisdom. And you know, he did not, he said that you will be given, you know, the happiness of the trial. It will go away as trial finish, but you know, you will be given the wisdom to understand and to stay patient and to be faithful. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. He mentioned doubting because at times of trials, usually people doubt many things. Doubt the love of God. Doubt if he is really the Almighty. Can he do miracles? Can he save us? Can he change the circumstances? So people doubt at times of trials. So while praying, you should fight the doubts. You should stick to the word of God. You should believe that he knows what exactly he's doing. So ask for his wisdom, ask for his support, but with no doubt. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. I'll tell you a story. I had one servant one day. She had a terminal cancer and she had at that time two children. And in her late days, I asked her, are you afraid of leaving your children? She told me, no, I'm dead sure that their father in heaven will care for them. He knows their best much more than I know. And she was really happy, although she suffered a lot. And she, you know, she being a mother for children, she should care for them. But with her faith, she accepted the trial and she traveled to heaven happily. So, you know, we shouldn't doubt our faith because we are not living just to enjoy some days in this world, but we are living just to catch the kingdom of heaven. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So sometimes you feel like a wave. Sometimes you feel believing in God, trusting his word. Other times you feel very much down and you doubt everything. So it's very common to feel ups and downs during the trial time. Keep pushing yourself to the up level, to the faith level, and to stop thinking in a negative or doubtful way. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. With doubts, while praying, you are not sure, so you will not receive the gift of God. You need to pray with faith. You need to pray with hope. You need to be sure that God is doing his best. He's listening, he's caring, he's your father, and everything will go for the best. This doubtful man is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I think many of you experienced it, that with doubts, you are like double-minded. Sometimes you believe that God is powerful, God is there for you. Other times you feel like you are just forgotten and there is no God. So this double-minded man cannot get the gift of peace, the gift of patience, and the virtues of wisdom given through trials. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. So again, one of the virtues given during trials is the virtue of humility. When people feel confident in themselves, when people feel pride and they are very much, you know, trusting themselves, with times of trial, they feel down, they feel insecure, they feel weak. And this is very important to heal this problem in their hearts, to manage this negative thinking, that when one trusts himself more than he trusts God, he's, you know, much far away from the road to heaven. So the humility is kind of virtue given through the hard time. And all people who suffered a lot, they, you know, felt that they should be humble. They consider the wisdom of God much higher than their wisdom. And they respect everyone. They could see things differently, because with no pain, they feel proud of themselves. But with pain, they feel very weak. They feel needy person. This way, they can put their trust in God. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. The rich people, you know, more vulnerable to feel this pride. So he asked them that they should be humble, because humility is needed for these rich people. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. Now you can see the way St. James expressed the idea of the trial and the wisdom, and he always make use of examples. He gave an example of the wave, simplifying the idea of double-minded man, ups and downs. And also he gave another example of the flower, so in order to express the idea of fading away or passing away. As a flower of the field, he will pass away. And also look to his way to express the reversal order of the world, because people, you know, tend to exalt the rich people, and, you know, they may not respect the lowly brother. But in our teaching, we respect the lowly brother because these are people of God, brothers of our Lord Christ. And the rich people, they should know how to be humble, and they should respect everyone. For no sooner had the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. So again, he's telling us, don't consider the richness as a goal in life. Don't look up to the rich people. Just look up to the rich God. And you know, if you are rich, please humble yourself. Respect everyone. Know quite well that you are a poor man, because you need to be rich in the spirit. And always expect that this life is very short, and you will face God very soon. So knowing that you are just a flower, and this will fade away very soon, will make you humble enough to understand wisdom of God and to do the will of God. This was the first passage written by St. James in his first chapter, and glory to God.